So Parshas Bereishis opens up a very rosy way, creation of the universe. And God creates humankind. It's almost like a downward spiral. So first we have the story of the proverbial original sin, the eating of the tree of knowledge, and how Adam is the source of banishing the divine presence. And now, outside of Gan Eden, trying to figure life out, two brothers actually want to serve Hashem. And one has a good idea, wants to bring an offering. And the other knocks off his idea and does it better. And he gets the credit. And the first brother can't take it. And it's anything but a laughing matter. So then we have the first homicide. That's what we're going to focus on today. We're going to focus on the post-mortem. So after Cain kills Hevel, and God already had spoken to Cain before and told him, I know you're a little upset, your offering didn't get accepted, but you know, this is the story of the Yetzer Hara. And Hashem tells Cain that if you improve your actions, everything's going to be fine, but the Cain's not happy. He can't stand the fact that somebody else succeeded where he failed. And in the end, he decides that he wants to kill his brother, which he does. God confronts him, and Cain plays dumb, my brother's keeper. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu confronts Cain fully, and then Cain talks about this idea that what will happen to me, whoever's going to find me is going to kill me. And God says, no, that's not going to be the case. I'm going to place a sign upon you, and it'll be 7 generations. You will be punished, but it'll be 7 generations till it happens. So verse 16 tells us what happens after this conversation. Vayetze Cain melfnei Hashem. Cain, so to speak, goes out from before Hashem. What does that mean, he goes out from before Hashem? Hashem is everywhere. So the Radak says, he went out memkoim kabbalas hashchina. There was a place where Cain received the Shechina, and he went away from that area where he was receiving the Shechina. The Chizkuni says he accepted upon himself the gzar din. There was a decree, God made certain statements, and Cain accepted that upon himself. We'll soon see how we learn this in Pshuta Shel Mikra. So Cain sets off, and Vayeshev Be'eretz Nod. He goes and settles in the land of Nod. And this land of Nod is Kidmas Eden. It's east of where the garden used to be, or where the garden is. So let's take a look now at Rashi and see on the Pshuta Shel Mikra level, when it means that when it says Cain went away, what exactly is the Torah telling us? So Rashi says, Vayetze Cain. It doesn't mean that he went away from a certain place, because in Pshuta Shel Mikra, that makes no sense. God is everywhere. He can't go to where God is. God is everywhere. So what does it mean he went away? So Rashi learns and understands that it means, proverbially speaking, Yotza Bahachno, that he went with humility. In other words, as if he said, okay, I hear, I accept, and he went away in this humble fashion. However, Rashi maintains that the humility was false, it was feigned humility, and he didn't want to hear more. He didn't want to get more rebuke. So I had enough. No problem. I'm done. I accept. Rashi uses very interesting words here. Quoting our sages, he says, "Kigoinav das ha'elyena," as if he was trying to conceal what he was really thinking from God. So he made it as if, first he made it as if he didn't know what God was talking about. And then after God confronted him and said to him, "Demei achicha tzayachim," your brother's blood is crying out to me. So his response was, I'm going to go out with humility. But Rashi tells us it was feigned humility. On a Pshuta Shel Mikra level, he went out, but he went out falsely, as if he had accepted, but it was in fact not the case. Where did he go? He went to Eretz Nod. So Rashi says Eretz Nod. This is the Eretz Shekol HaGoylim Nodim Shom. The word Nod means kind of displacement or exile. And there's a place where people go when they're exiled, when they're kind of out of sorts, off the grid. How would we know that? I mean, who else has already done this? And the answer, of course, is Adam. Adam, he dropped the ball big time. Where did he go? He went Kidmas Eden. He went to the eastern area of the garden. As Rashi continues to say, Shom Gola Aviv. That's where his father exiled himself. Kishugoyrash Megan Eden, when he was driven from the Garden of Eden. Shanemar, we learned this yesterday. Vayashkein Mikedem Legan Eden. He settled in the east of Gan Eden. And then we hear about these little monsters and the rotating blade. Lishmer Shmidas Derech Mavoy Gan Eden, that they were placed there to guard the way of going into Gan Eden. But Sheyesh Lilmeid, we can learn from this, Shahaya Adam Shom, that if those guards, or those angels or demons were placed on the eastern area, like from the eastern side of the approach to Gan Eden, we could understand from this that it must be that that's where Adam was. And Rashi notes that it's interesting that the notion of the easterly direction in general has this kind of refuge-like element to it. Where do we see that? Rashi says, Umatsino, we find later on in the scriptural descriptions of various events in human history, that Ruach Mizrachis keletes b'chol makim esar ratzchim, that the eastern area, the eastern direction, that's where would-be murderers or accidental murders would go. Shenemer, how do we know this? Because there's a concept called Ari Miklat, and this is the idea of cities of refuge. Cities of refuge provide refuge for somebody who killed accidentally, even though there's no accident here. But nonetheless, it's a city of refuge, and refuge is connected to the loss of life. And here, Cain was a murderer. So we see that when the Torah describes the first cities of refuge, it says, Oz Yavdol Moshe Mizrocha Shomesh. Moshe divided, designated, or set aside these cities, and he did so in the east, in the easterly direction. And the rest of the pasuk is Lonos Shomer Etzeach, so that murderers might run there, might seek refuge there. So just like then, there's this idea that the east, somehow, for some reason, the east became a direction that's synonymous with people seeking refuge. All right, that's one way of understanding this. Derech Dover Acher, another way of understanding this is, Be'eretz Noid is not a place. Be'eretz Noid is describing what geography was like for this guy, Cain. Kol Mokem Shehoyah Hoylech, Hoyseh Ha'aretz Mizdadas. Everywhere Cain would go, the earth would, so to speak, the earth would tremble underneath his wandering. And when the earth would tremble, it would say, as if to say, Bries, the people, really it was no people, so it was animals, beasts, they would communicate with each other. They would say, Suru me'alav, stay away from this guy, he's a monster. Zeu shaharag is achiv, this is the human who killed his brother. This is the murderer. So Cain was a fearful person, and not even animals wanted to be in his presence. Wherever he went, the land seemed to tremble, and creatures ran away. This is the Pshutish Omikra way of understanding what Cain did. So Cain does not come across smelling very nicely over here. Number one, Cain clearly did not accept the rebuke of Hashem. In fact, he cut the rebuke short by feigning humility and checking out. Number one. Number two, it seems he was supposed to be exiled, but he didn't really get exiled, it says. He went to a particular place because he figured he'd find refuge there. He figured, my dad found refuge there, I'll find refuge there too, although he was supposed to be in a state of constant movement. That was supposed to be his exilic punishment, that he would always move around, that he would not be able to settle. Cain doesn't seem to have followed instructions here. And Rashi's second interpretation is that the land itself rejected him. Wherever he went, the land was trembling, and even animals ran away from his presence. Now, the Radak says, Be'eretz Noid is the first part of the Pasuk. And then after talking about Be'eretz Noid, the Torah finishes off by telling us Kidmas Eden. Radak says he went there, he exiled himself, and then he said, okay, I had enough of this. And he came back to his family. And the reason that it's called Land of Nod, even though he didn't spend so much time there, according to Ramban, is because he kept going back there. So he did not live a peaceful life. He kept feeling uncomfortable. He kept feeling guilty. He kept going back to this place of Nod, where he went. Very interestingly, the Vilna Gaon had this strange teaching that Eretz Nod is speaking about Eretz Yisrael. They said the reason it's called Eretz Nod, the land of wandering, is because we, the Jewish people, would ultimately wander away from Eretz Yisrael. But we still come back. We still remain tethered. So he said that's why it's for posterity. That's why it's called Eretz Nod. And this is all the Kidmas Eden, and the Vilna Gaon says, right, Kidmas Eden, that's exactly where. That was corresponding to the idea of east of the Garden of Eden. That's exactly where Eretz Yisrael might have been. Eretz Yisrael would be to the east of the Garden of Eden. I'm not really sure how that works out, but that's what he says. Verse 17, so what happens now? Now that we know that Cain plays his game, and then he, you know, kind of moves on. Vayeda Cainus, Ishtay, so Cain is intimate, he's with his wife in a carnal way. Vatahar Vatela deschanech. So she has a baby, she becomes pregnant, she has a baby, and the baby's name is Chanech. What does Cain do after having a baby, after bringing a child into the world? Vayehi Beina Ir, he sets off on a new career. Now he's a city builder. Vayikra Shem Ha'ir, Kishem Benei Chanech. He calls it the city of Chanech. As his son is named Chanech, he calls it the city of Chanech. Ramban says, what is the point here? Why do you have to say he built a city and then he called it on the name of his son? Says Ramban, because he knew that he was punished. And he knew that Hashem said, you will not find any kind of peace or serenity. You'll always be in a state of flux. You'll always be in a state of movement. You're going to ever be an exile. Because you'll ever be an exile, so you're going to have to constantly move around. So he said, how could I build a city then? I can't build a... So he made it very clear. This is not my city. This is my son's city. I'm building this for Chanech. And, you know, the Malbim adds, his hope was to inspire his son to follow in the latter direction. They wouldn't be a murderer, but instead he would actually be a city builder. He'd be a builder. He'd build. And we have this idea that he, as a force of destruction that he was earlier, now Cain sets out to be a builder. All right, so here's something very interesting. Up until now, we've studied this from the perspective of what we call Pshut Lashon Mikra, where Cain does not come out looking like a very good guy. But there is another way of understanding this Vayetze Kayin. And here, in their Biurim book, on page Kuf Aleph, in Simen Nun Aleph, so the Rebbe brings a very, very interesting teaching based on the Medrash Rabbah that says, Vayetze Kayin Milfnei Hashem, Kayin went out before Hashem, means Milfnei Hashem Sheyotza Sameach Lefishin Eskabla Chuvasi, that he set out joyously because Hashem accepted his repentance, his return. The Medrash says that Adam actually learned the lesson of tshuva from his son Cain. The Medrash says, this is a quote, it's on the footnote on the bottom, Pogabai Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan encounters his son. Amar Lai, he says, Ma nasa bedincha? How'd your court case go? I know, you know, it's a family with court cases. I know how mine went. How'd yours go? Amar Lai, so Cain says, Asisi tshuva. I did tshuva. V'nispasharti, and I kind of got, you know, a compromise. They made a plea bargain for me. Hischil Adam Rishon mitapeach al panav. Adam Rishon began to strike his head like this and saying, Omar, he said, kachi koichah shel tshuva. Wow, I didn't know this. So actually, we do something wrong. You can undo what you did wrong, and you can, like, regret. No. Ani la yisyadeh. I had no idea. So Cain was the first one who stumbled upon the gift of tshuva, and because he stumbled upon the gift of tshuva, and he did tshuva, and Hashem accepted his tshuva, vayetze Cain goes out before Hashem, sameach. So from this approach, from this midrashic approach, Cain does not leave feigning humility, making believe he did tshuva, but just wanting to avoid getting yelled at anymore and getting rebuked by God. No, Cain actually did do tshuva. And because he did tshuva, vayetze, he went out of his previous situation and he went into a new reality, a happy reality, a reality in which he was able to leave his sin behind and he was able now to experience a spiritual rehabilitation. So the Rebbe points out, the Torah, which is our source of inspiration, our roadmap for life, this is our guidance. The Torah doesn't tell us that he did tshuva, but the Torah tells us that actually this monster, this murderer, became a role model. Not only can we see that Cain is the world's oldest bal tshuva, or the world's first returnee, not only can Cain teach us of tshuva, Cain can teach us tshuva methodology. He shows us how we should do tshuva. How so? How did Cain teach them how to do tshuva? So the Rebbe says, if you follow the psukim from pasuk to zayin into yud zayin, Cain lay histopic becharata bilvad. He did not only express remorse and regret and feel guilty about what he did. Not only did he accept upon himself, Kabbalas, Einish HaGolas, God said to him, you will never have a peaceful day again. You'll always be in a state of flux and movement. You'll have to be continuously moving through life as an exile. And Cain accepted this. But he didn't just accept it. He didn't just go around miserable. Ela Asa Pa'ula, like the Malbim says, he went ahead and he did something positive. He sought Latakin Esachisarin Shenigram Al Yidei Chetai. He said, how do I make up for what I did? How do I fix what I broke? And how did he? What did he do? He killed. He removed a human being. So what did he set out to do? He said, I have to be the cause of another soul being born. I have to increase life. Because I decreased life, I now have to increase life. Because I removed life, I have to add life. And he did this. He said, my brother was lost. I have to somehow replace that now. And then, not only did he seek to increase life, that wasn't enough. He said, I have to make the world a developed place. I have to build society and civilization. I did a terrible thing. I committed the first murder. I may injure the fabric of society. Now I have to rebuild society. And how will he do that? The Pasuk says, Vayi Baina Ir. Now he's building a city. He's the first city. So he becomes not only the first murderer, he becomes the first Baal Tshuva, but more importantly than just being a returnee, expressing remorse and regret and resolve never to do something like that again. But furthermore, Cain actually sets into motion now doing something positive. He becomes a builder. He wants to build. Lila Melcha, this comes to teach you. Sheba Asiyas Tshuva, that when a person does Tshuva, Ein Dai Bahakaras Hachet Bekabal Sa'inish. It is not sufficient to simply take responsibility for the sin you did, which is pretty good. If you look at his parents, they didn't take responsibility. When Hashem confronted Chava, she said, well, me, I don't know. Snake, I didn't do anything. And Adam said, me, it was my wife. What do you want from me? It's your fault, you gave me this wife. So they didn't take responsibility. They never did tshuva. But Cain does do tshuva. Cain does take responsibility. And Cain does accept upon himself the punishment that Hashem meets out to him. But not only does Cain accept upon himself the punishment, not only does he acknowledge having done the wrong thing, but furthermore, ubalashan hakli yakar kan, in the language of the kli yakar, laseis is a mitzvah hofchis al haveda sha'asa. Cain furthermore goes ahead and says, it's not going to be enough for me simply to undo what I did wrong, but on the contrary, now I have to add in some way, I have to positively rotate and have to positively undo what I did by adding in a good way. Kibazeh, the Kli Yakar says, Yitaken Avinosei. That's how he fixes his sin. And so, a monster becomes a model, or a role model. And this is very important for us. It's a very important lesson, inasmuch as this Parsha shows us how low humanity can fall, and how from the very beginning of human history, we had a sordid and really disastrous kind of series of events. We also see how humanity early on learned it can fix things. And that's the lesson that every one of us has to internalize. The Eber says, Hafen, we should all do tshuva, and we should be zeichet in geula, amitis v'ashlema, through Mashiach, b'mheira.